Hello and welcome to The Shape of Work, a podcast series by SpringWorks. My name is Anoop and I am your host. Each week, we'll be talking to top people managers across the world on the future of work and how it's shaping our workplace. So sit back and get ready to find out more from these movers and shakers as we have a no-holds-barred, anything-goes conversation with them about their journey, their insights, their thoughts, and most importantly, their ideas and vision for the workplace of the future. Join in on the conversation, leave a comment, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button.
Hello and welcome to the Shape of Work podcast. Joining us today on the show is Ashish Anand, founder and CEO of World Loans and Brew Finance. He's doing an important contribution to the blockchain ecosystem by creating one of the largest fintech platform on blockchain for farmers. Welcome, Ashish.
Before we start, I just wanted to understand your career journey and how did you start? And you do have a very interesting career chart. I already know, but let's just explain to the audience.
Hi, Aditya. Thanks a lot, first of all, for inviting me to the podcast. It's really great to share the journey of what we are doing. And being one of the few blockchain-focused startups in India, it certainly is... We believe that it is very important for us also to speak about what we do in the blockchain Web3 world as it is catching up and it reaches to the more and more audience. So thanks for giving us the platform as well. So to talk about myself, as you already know, I am co-founder of World. We started World in 2019. Blockchain fintech startup focused on a very specific commodity finance vertical. And that's where we are going today. Talking about how did we start that. So before I started World, I was running a consulting in blockchain space, which was sort of freelancer.com for blockchain. We called it Blockchain Advisory Council, and it had more than 100 people from across the globe. That's where my... when I say 100 people, means 100 advisors, techies, non-techies, both the type, who were associated with the platform. And that's where the seeds of World were sown. Some of the people who started, like me and my co-founder Abhishek, both of us worked together in World. So that is where we did this and we started working on that. But I have been into the blockchain. My first introduction to Bitcoin was in 2011. But like most of them, I was on the other side of the table, on the skeptic side of the table. That, I mean, is it some sort of a joke or what, that you say the software will create a currency and so on? But over a period of time, people, I mean, we have this flexibility as people that we can change our thoughts, right? So that changed. And that is how I came into this field, how we built up and where we are taking it. So that's where the journey is.
Sure. So how did you start with blockchain, right? You said you have sort of an advisor. You started an advisory. So 2011, you sort of knew about blockchain and stuff. I see you are sort of a CA. You have a good amount of financial, you know. You were in finance, I think, all your life. So from how did you change from, like, you know, 2013, 14, 15, and then how did you suddenly came into 2018 blockchain? That's the question.
So you are very much right. I did my CA in 2003 and I jumped into finance just after doing my CA. Like the CAs of those time who typically prefer to work for themselves, I went into working for myself. So this have this career that I never worked for someone else. So in that, finance was my specialization. I started over a period of years, I added commodities. I have been engaged into commodity markets for many, many years, way back in 2007-8 or so, before the financial crisis. And since then, I have been engaged into that. Hedging advisory was what I was doing for commodity finance. We slowly developed it and built it into one of the early CFO service providers in India.
Got it.
And that's where, because I was into commodity market and currency markets, that is how my introduction to Bitcoin happened so early. And, but yes, Blockchain is something. So I always have been told that I should have been an engineer instead of being a CA. So I have always have this fascination with technology since the time I mean, even when I was doing CA, I was quite fascinated with how the technology works. Not on the coding side, but on the implementation, the application side of it.
Yeah.
So when blockchain, I got interested into Bitcoin. It was only Bitcoin then. It was not blockchain. Blockchain started appearing as a word like in 2014-15.
Got it.
So around that time when blockchain started coming in, and I was into finance, and we saw that there was so many applications of blockchain coming up into finance. That is how I got interested into that. Then in blockchain and crypto world, it is all about you jump into it. You find like
learn as you go.
You find like minded people and you start working. The entire concept of crypto has been like even Satoshi did the same thing, right? He started building something, brought the crypto punks into that, and that is how he built it. So that is how it happened. Started learning, started interacting to people across on internet and so on. The blockchain advisory council, which I created, we were four partners. We never met.
Wow.
So I was one of them. Two of my friends are from US. One was from Berlin. And we said that people are talking about blockchain and crypto, but there is not a platform where someone who, say, for example, a company, a startup wants to embed blockchain into that. So the only solution is to go to IBMs of the world. Which many of them will not be in a position to even engage with. Yes. So that is where we thought of creating something where you can say that, I would say IBM or Deloitte for startups looking for it. That is what we did.
Great, great. So I've been reading about war loans, right? Even Brew Finance also. But I just wanted to understand, it's a very interesting target group that you have seen, you know, farmers. I always believe that unless you are not bringing to the value to the lower side of the chain, it doesn't matter what tech it is, right? So I just want to understand, how did you said okay, our target group is these farmers, and it's a very complex thing, right? Especially in India, where you don't know will they even accept the technology. So how did you manage that? How did you decide on okay, this is how am I going, and this is the strategy?
So actually speaking, it start with something else known as commodity finance. Okay. It's the same thing which we are doing, but when we started World, the idea was to solve the problems of commodity finance vertical. A commodity finance is like, if I am owner of commodity, for example, I'm a farmer, right? I own a lot of wheat, rice, and so on. And I, for some reason, I don't want to sell. Whatever might be the reason, I want to sell after 2 months, I want to sell after 6 months or so. So then what, as a farmer, what a farmer can do, they can carry this to a warehouse, deposit the stock there and monetize it by taking a loan against that. Similar to gold loan. So if I have gold as a person and I don't want to sell the gold and I need some liquidity, we take our gold to the bank and take it. So gold loan is actually a specific type of commodity finance.
Yeah.
Okay. So in commodity finance, actually, why we started with blockchain in commodity finance is because it's a huge problematic sector on the banker side, on the lender side.
Yeah.
Across the globe, it is a sector where we see a lot of frauds. So we were seeing that. I mean, I came across a report called Qingdao scandal in China, which resulted into around $250 million of loss to the banks in 2014. When I saw, actually in India, in 2013, 1 year before that, our investors had lost $1 billion.
Oh, God.
Warehouse receipt finance, means commodity finance itself. So when we studied this, we found that this happens every year. I mean, every year, we don't hear about it much.
Yeah.
But it happens every year. And last year in 2020 in Singapore, banks lost $12 billion only in commodity finance space. So that is where we saw application of blockchain and we brought that. Now in India, what happens that commodity finance means agriculture finance.
Yeah.
Okay, agri-commodity finance. We keep gold loans separately. Right? I mean, we don't include gold. So that is how we started. When we started building, we saw that the problem was, when we started doing this, the problem was of the farmer, and they were not getting the benefits because the banks were suffering and so on. So we thought that why not to create something which solves the problem of both the sides.
Yes.
That is where you bring blockchain, because any software, other software, solves the problem of one person.
Yeah.
Right. It either solves the problem, say for example, in lending space, it solves the problem either of the borrower, means providing access to finance, or of the lender by making their services better.
Yes.
What we did that, I mean, what blockchain does, that it solves the problem of the ecosystem. So that's where we brought the blockchain, that it can solve the problem of the farmer, means no access to finance. And it can solve the problem of the bankers, means they have a very high risky portfolio anyway in commodity finance space.
Got it.
Yeah.
So
started.
Got it. So I think the world loans, if you look at it, it will be targeting the banker side, right? Mm-hmm. It will not be saying blockchain to the face to the farmers. Farmers may not even know if blockchain is happening or not, right? That's
exactly. You got it. So
got.
We actually have built, so we also have this conviction that blockchain technology as of now is very difficult to use at a consumer level.
Great point.
It's UX, UI is still something which needs to be evolved.
Great.
Second point, it has a major issue sense of today, supposedly you are a bank, you have a bank account.
Yeah.
For some reason, if you forget your password to your internet banking, you're able to get your money, right?
Yeah.
Blockchain, if you forget the, how do you access your wallet somehow, or your wallet is compromised, or if you forget the seed phrase of the wallet, the money is gone, right? Many people have lost billions of dollars into this.
Even I am
lost. I mean, every one of us must have lost something into this.
Yeah.
So the idea was that how do we ensure that no farmer should suffer from, because for a farmer whom we are giving a few hundred, a few 10,000, 20,000 or 1 lakh rupee or 2 lakhs rupee of loan, for them it's a big sum.
Yes.
Right. So what we did, that we created that backend is blockchain, where my bankers, where my warehouses, where other agencies are. And the front end is not on blockchain. It interacts with the blockchain.
Okay.
So you can think of similar to like when we work with exchanges. So when we work with crypto exchanges, we are actually not working with the blockchain directly. Each and every transaction settles at the back end and we use a front end. So that is how the solution has been designed for farmers here. So the farmers have only one thing. Warehouse mein jao, bank jaane ki zarurat nahi hai, aapko loan mil jayega.
Yes.
No, I mean, it's a paperless, personless system.
Yeah.
There is their interaction with technology is only one point. They have to press a button called apply for loan.
Wow.
Yes. Nice. Nothing else is there. They have to just do, I mean, of course, initial registration and all. But that also we have, we have linked with the DigiLocker. So they have to just put their Aadhaar number. The data gets pulled in. The profile is created. They go to the warehouse. And the only button after that they have to do is apply for loan. Apply for loan, done. Loan application, done. And loan comes through there.
Nice. I think it gives a message that whenever you're designing any Web3 or any blockchain solution, I think from the end user, it should be as simple as possible, because the understanding of blockchain is not there yet from the consumer side, if I understood correctly, right?
No, you are very much right. That is, rather our bottom of the pyramid, which we call, their understanding of the technology itself is very limited.
Yes.
They are happy with YouTube. They are happy with WhatsApp. But anything beyond that, even a net banking, a mobile banking is a very difficult thing for them. And also the trust factor. That how do I want to use technology to transfer money to someone? I mean, of course, Google Pay have made it very simple these days. But still, you are very much right that a focus on the end consumer is most important.
Got it. So cool. So I think you had sort of, you have started few companies. I just want to understand, when you start a company, right? How do you set up the building blocks? How do you set up, you know, culture? Or I'm guessing you have very few employees, so you may not even, you know, think in that sense, but how do you do the first hires? Do you have something in mind? How do you decide, okay, even if the company goes, how, this is the way I want the culture to be. So any thoughts on that?
Culture is very important to us. Even if, okay. I mean, we are a very small number of, like, today we are 15 people startup.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So still that, despite that, culture is very, very important to us, because, I mean, when you start something, you anyway think of that someday it will be quite big, and the building blocks of that culture have to be created today. So we have a quite open culture at Whirl, and it has been the practice as well. I am accessible to anyone anytime. Not only me, anybody is accessible to anyone. We make sure that the interactions are kept at the level that where anybody can, and there is a freedom to anyone. I mean, typically till the time there is, unless and until needed, we don't even intervene in the process of how, say, for example, if a code is being written, then our only discussion is what it should perform, not about how it should be, the code should be written. And so similarly, if a customer is to be, say, for example, a farmer, when our team interacts with the farmer, we don't even guide our team that how do you do that, follow a script or something, not like that. We allow them to take care of this on their own. So it is very important for us, even at this journey. About the hiring, when we did our first hire, so on that front, we are a bit careful. We take because our margin of error in a startup on hiring is very low. Like in a large company, if you make 10 hires and one or two go bad, still it doesn't impact, right? If we do 10 hiring here or one or two go bad, I mean, that department itself will be in trouble, right? So so we were very careful in the hiring process. We understand that where the candidate is coming from, especially we focus on the hard skills quite a lot. So that the idea is that the person should be in a position to do the deliveries from day one. But that was when we started hiring initially. Now we have built a process. Typically, we hire freshers also nowadays. We put them into on an internship path. And then from internship part to empty part and so on. So that process also we have started in nowadays for hiring.
Got it. So I'm guessing you will be always talking about blockchain, everything, you know, just to keep the whole team, even the HRs, you know, they even should know about blockchain, etc. And
everybody should be knowing that, because that's core focus. So we two aspects which are very important for the team to understand that. One is that we are creating impact. So everything we do should be from that focus, that are we able to create the impact? Is our work able to create the impact? If you are coding for, say, for example, someone is coding there, then are they coding it from a perspective that it is going to be used by the farmers? And so on. So that is one important part. And of course, blockchain is very core of this part. And blockchain today also need evangelism. It needs people to talk about it, because what we see happening, that the way organizations change after two things, ERP and internet. Their interaction among themselves within the organization change. We believe that Web3 will change how the ecosystems interact with each other.
Great point.
So we certainly enforce this messaging in all our communication with everyone in the organization, that how we use blockchain and also how do we create impact.
Got it. One more point that I wanted to make. So you were in the finance sector. So just wanted to see if you've been following in Twitter and all this place, you know, there's something called DeFi, decentralized finance. And if you see the whole solution, these DeFi solutions are coming up. It's sort of there is a back and forth between the banks, centralized banks, and these DeFi people. There is always a fight going on. Some sort of things are going on. People are. So do you think that DeFi will, the central bank should be afraid of DeFi? Because I see that a solution like Whirl loans or something of that. So it just facilitates these centralized banks, right? It just makes their life easy. So how do you think, you know, the DeFi affecting these centralized banking systems?
I would say that, if we compare DeFi, I can compare to commercial banks.
Got it.
Central banks means our, say, for example, RBI or Fed.
Yeah.
They would be more scared of Bitcoin itself or something like a DAI or something like a stable coin. So the core part of it, you can think of DeFi as our fintech equivalent of the crypto market. So will be fintech competing with, they compete with banks typically.
Okay.
So that is where we see that DeFi is something which is changing how the banking happened. So people spring up platform, they offer yield and they offer lending, and a bank is created without any banking license or something like that. And, and we all know that banking is such a heavily regulated industry across the globe. So it means that the competition of DeFi is certainly there with the traditional banks, commercial bank. And in some parts, we are seeing that they are already replacing, I mean, for some people. So, for example, if you own digital assets, you can go on any DeFi platform, take a loan. You don't need to go to a bank against that, right? Yeah. So those are certain things which are happening. On the central bank level, I believe, and that is where you see that most of the central banks don't have a good comment on Bitcoin, and which is any cryptocurrency, which is used as a currency.
Yeah.
Because they are concerned with the supply of money, which decides two factors. One is the growth and the second is inflation of the economy.
Got it.
Bitcoin coming into picture distorts everything for their controls. I mean, say, for example, they cannot say that I'm going to cut the rate of interest and Bitcoin is going to follow suit, right?
Yeah.
So that is where they have some sort of conflict, and it is bound to happen. How it will evolve, we will see.
Sure. Okay. Sure. So again, I think I already asked this question, right? So how do you prepare the market for all these blockchain Web3 solutions? Another added question on this will be, where do you think blockchain can really have more impact apart from the money lending domain? Where else do you think the Web3 as a whole thing can make a huge impact? So there are two questions.
Okay. Yeah. So one, if I have understood the first question correctly, is it about that how do we make people understand the benefits of the technology? That
yes.
How do we create a market for the solution?
Yes.
Okay. So so this is any blockchain solution has this typical problem, what we call cold start or chicken and egg problem, right?
Yeah.
Because a blockchain requires an ecosystem. So for example, when we are working in commodity finance, warehouses, seed finance ecosystem,
yeah,
I need the banks to come on board. I need the farmers to come on board. And I also need the warehouses to come on. It is not like that we have an app, we go to the farmers, take a loan and do a partnership with the bankers on that. We also need this warehouse to come into picture. Similarly, for supply chain solutions, which work on traceability and all, each and every component of the supply chain must be on the blockchain itself.
Yes.
Unless that happens, we defeat the purpose of the blockchain. It's a difficult problem to sell. This is a difficult solution to sell, I would say. And that's why many of the blockchain solutions which came in like 2016, 17, or even 18, they remained at POC pilot level. So it's a difficult solution, but the way to do it, as happens with any platform, make one side stronger. So if you have either supply or demand side, which is very strong, the other side will come because of the network.
Got it.
Right. So that is what we did. We brought 1,400 warehouses on the platform first.
Wow. Okay.
Today that has helped us create, today we are India's largest private blockchain network with $500 million of commodities tokenized on the platform. So once we did that, then the lenders, they see the benefit in that already there is a market which has been created. So that's how we do that. I mean, you have to solve that cold start problem somehow. The second question which you asked, that where do we see the implementation? So implicate. So one part is, of course, it started with currency, so difficult. Yeah. But if we look at supply chain is an obvious problem. So where blockchain has where blockchain can be implemented, whether you talk about Web3, means the crypto side of it, or the enterprise blockchain side. So the core of blockchain is decentralization.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the theory. But in a world which is centralized today, it is difficult to create that. So what we see that wherever you can, decentralization doesn't really mean that you remove every intermediary. But can we remove some of the intermediaries? Or can we, for example, remove some of the intermediary processes?
Gotcha.
So say for example, in supply chain, what happens that you have letters of credit, which say for example, there is an exporter sending goods to an importer. So they send a letter of credit first of all. Then the letter of credit is approved and accepted by the bankers. Then after the goods are sent from, say for example, country A to country B, then there are a huge tons of documentation which follows that. And then again, the payments come against the letter of credit, it is a discounting. So there is a huge process which is involved there. And some of them can be usually cut down by bringing all the parties together. So in supply chain, I believe certainly that that is where we have very, very important implementations of blockchain. In governance, again.
Yeah.
So typically in government sector, again, transparency is very required. And in a nutshell, a blockchain is a shared ledger available to anyone. So that way, again, we see that in government-related works, there is a huge implementation requirement of, I mean, there is, blockchain can make a lot of difference about that. Agriculture in itself, because agriculture has supply chain, agriculture has financing, and there are so many applications in agriculture as well. Yeah.
Got it. Sure. I think one question that basically at SpringWorks we are trying to do is, you know, you said we have sort of you are implementing sort of DigiLocker, right, for the KYC thing.
Yeah.
So if DigiLocker goes off, it's a centralized entity again, right? So do you think these KYC processes can be made very easy if it is on a blockchain or something, so that, you know, they can just take the data in one shot, just have to sign, just like you said, right? From the end user, you just have to sign just how you accept all the crypto payments, right? And it just takes out the data from the blockchain that you have for each people. So do you think that may be a better idea than having a DigiLocker centralized? It goes off every time. Even I have sort of experienced it in my previous firm. So what do you think about that? You know, having a digital identity on a blockchain, what do you think about that? Yes,
certainly digital ID on blockchain is a very powerful concept. What has happened in India that it has developed its India stack, which is Aadhaar.
Yeah.
Okay. So India maybe looked differently a bit, but a global decentralized ID solution, what it will create that in many countries, people don't have any equivalent of Aadhaar per se. So today what happens, and the second problem, as you rightly mentioned, there is a single point of failure, which is in this particular case. So blockchain certainly brings this benefit. One, that our identity can be created and can be used globally.
Yes.
It is not like today, if I have to do something in another part of the world, I have to give my, like we scan our passport and send it to someone. I mean, how much secure is that?
Yeah.
It's neither secure and it is too much. Anybody can create anything on that particular device. Right? So nobody can verify even that. So global ID solution on blockchain is a very, very powerful concept. Some of the work is happening in that area. And I would agree with you that this will open the doors towards a better implementation, less chances of failure. And also, what will be possible with this, that there are, that today we talk about account aggregators in India.
Yeah.
Where a person can give consent for specific purposes. So
yes.
As you know, we used to give paper of PAN card to everyone, and that used to go to the market and you will receive 1,000 calls on top of that, right?
Or can
be used. So what we see that using smart contracts, actually the people whose ID is being used, they can actually control that who is using them.
Yes.
How they are using them, for what period they are using them. And secondly, there is no chance again of ID fraud, which is a huge important issue. So And by bringing privacy factors of blockchain again, we can make it anonymous to the extent that only the entity which is looking for information has the information, nobody else.
Wow, great insights, Ashish. I think we can conclude that blockchain will play a major role in the future of decentralization and Web3. And again, thanks a lot for being on the Shape of Word podcast and sharing your perspectives, your experiences, and you know, all your knowledge. Thanks a lot.